today on Real Radio.
Jesus said he came back from the grave to best the grave and hell and to give eternal life to all those who put their trust in him. Jesus Christ is your salvation, and there's no salvation outside of him. He's the one and only. No matter how you've sown in all of your life, you want to sow one thing now forever? Sow Jesus Christ into your heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 21, we looked at how night vision is seeing in the dark what others don't see. Isaiah had what was like a night vision from God of future events. God's going to bring justice to the people of Israel by punishing Babylon. The people never saw it coming, which really troubled Isaiah. Babylon is eventually delivered, but it's better to do what's right in the first place than to try to get back what's already been lost. Now in chapter 22, Isaiah sees trouble ahead for the nation of Judah and for the city of Jerusalem. Now God is going to punish them for worshiping other gods. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we get lost in our own desires, we think life is all about us. Our hearts become hardened towards God, and yet we blame him when things go wrong. But when we humble ourselves before God, he will be the one that lifts us up. Doesn't that sound great? And now continuing in his lesson called When God Gets Lost, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You would think there would be prayer meetings across America at this hour because of the condition of our country. But there's not. Why not? Just call. Shave your head. It's a sign of mourning. Weep. Come. Seek me. We did that, you know, for about a month after 9/11. And I want to ask you something. Think of the book of Isaiah chapter 22 right here now. And think of right here, right now in 2016. Since we were attacked, did we wake up to what Judah is facing in this chapter? Did we wake up to the attack? Did we wake up? And you stop and say, well, wait a minute. How are we doing since 9/11 morally? Did we repent? Did we at least fear God enough to change our morals? I just ask you. And then our ethics as a culture. Our ethics, are we more ethical or less ethical since 9/11? What about our spiritual heart as a nation? Are we more bold to cry out to the God of heaven and earth, or have we stepped back in timidity? We've stepped back, haven't we? Isn't this sobering? Look, I've been studying this all day today. I couldn't wait to get it off my chest and give it to you too now. This is serious stuff, and yet it's all true. Oh my goodness, look at verse 13. But instead of weeping and all that stuff and repenting, but instead joy and gladness. Party! Slaying oxen and killing sheep. Slaying oxen would be, look, you're having a great time, you're having a ball, you're going to In-N-Out, and you're eating shawarma, eating meat and drinking wine. And look what they said. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You ever hear that statement before? It comes from right here. It's hedonism. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, you know, for tomorrow we die. Let's grab all the gusto we can. Hedonism. Just listen, just definition. It's a school of thought that argues that pleasure is the primary or most important intrinsic good. A hedonist strives to maximize net pleasure pleasure minus pain, if possible. Ethical hedonism is the idea that all people have the right to do everything in their power to achieve the greatest amount of pleasure possible for themselves. Translation, if you and I are hedonist, I have the things that please me, you have the things that please you. You ever heard the saying, live and let live? Sounds sweet, doesn't it? But if you're a godless, hedonistic culture, then one of the things that happens is you begin to either change laws, disobey laws, or add laws that allow you to do what you want to do to fulfill your hedonism. So what I want to do is what I want to do. And I'm a hedonist. You have no right to tell me I can't do it. You see? Because you live for your pleasure, I'll live for my pleasure. And do you see, that sounds okay on paper until you try to live it. And then you find out that this person gets a lot of pleasure killing people. Or this person loves to have sex with minors. To him, it's fine. You can't quench me. I'm a free spirit. You can't. Whatever feels good, do it. You see, it works on paper. And it works in the classroom at the university, but it never works in reality. I just believe we should be able to live and do whatever we want to do. That's all you're hearing right now in the news media where they're interviewing people. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how dangerous that kind of thinking is? That means that person gets mad enough, it's okay with them, that's fine with them to kill another person or to torture them or to rob them. Hey, I don't want to work. I have pleasure not working. And so I'm going to take from you who work so I can be fulfilled. You say that would never happen. It's happening. Do you see how serious this is? I'm sure nobody will be here next Wednesday night. This is too much reality. This is the real deal. It's amazing. Let's eat. Let's do our thing. It's interesting. Hedonism avoids personal responsibility. I'm not going to get involved. That comes from hedonism. Don't raise your hand, but are you one of those people who say, oh, I'm not going to get involved? You're actually a hedonist. No personal involvement. You avoid that. Today, our culture, somebody's bleeding on the street. Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Let me get that. Let me Instagram that. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is us. Hedonism breeds dependency upon others. Give me what I want. Hedonism demands what it wants at the expense of others. You are here. This is one of the mantras. You are here to please me. And that's a big, big collision when it comes to marriage or relationships or even church. Hey, you exist to please me. That's hedonistic. We impose that upon a husband or a wife, or kids can impose that upon parents. Don't you exist to give me everything I want? I meet people all the time that are church shopping. That's a tough thing. When you're church shopping, you need to pray. And when you're visiting a church, I tell everybody the same thing. When you're visiting a church, you should visit that church 4 weeks back to back. And then go on to the next church and go on to the next church until God shows you what church. 4 weeks back to back. But so often I'll hear people in the foyer say, yeah, we're visiting and you were a little underdressed, Pastor. Just want to let you know. I mean, I'm not judging. But, and the music was too loud. And I hear it all. And so, you know what? Here's what they want. They want the ministry of the Word of God and the church experience to completely please them. No one comes to church. I don't mean you, other churches. No one comes to service anymore to completely die to self, to worship God, to get from Him what He's saying at a sacrifice. It's all make it for me. I want my worship experience to be awesome. So come on. And listen, churches who have departed from the Word of God have jumped onto the bandwagon of trying to be all things to all men. And Jesus is on the outside knocking, trying to get in. Well, we're not going to mention sin. It upsets people. That's called conviction. Well, we're not going to teach the Bible because some of it is just too hard. That's called holiness. It's a heartbreak. It's a tragic time. Okay, so if it feels good, do it. I wrote that down. Look out for number one. I'm talking about bumper stickers from my generation. He who dies with the most toys wins. And then somebody skateboard somewhere said YOLO. You only live once. Isn't that hedonistic? YOLO, you only live once. So what does that mean? Well, in the words of that immortal philosopher and R&B soul funk performer Billy Preston, he says, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Stephen Stills made the song famous, but he got the lyrics from Billy Preston. Did you know that? If you can't be with the one you love, honey. Remember? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Bunch of pagans, you. If you can't, think about that for a moment. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with? Unbelievable. Standing here before these people, do you vow your faithfulness, forsaking all others? Well, yes, but if I can't be with the one I love, then I'm going to love the one I'm with. Try that on your wedding vows there. That's hedonistic. That's humanism. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, sounds like Isaiah, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Amen. Wow. Now look, people know, you know your little memory cards that you get from the Christian bookstore and it's got that little plastic loaf of bread? And you pull out the memory card and you memorize it, chances are that verse is not in that memory loaf. That's awesome. Our hearts become hardened when we don't judge ourselves against the Word. When we mismanage God's blessings in our lives, our hearts can be hardened. When we mismanage pain in our lives, has pain come to your life? And instead of drawing near to God, you curse God for the pain that has arrived in your life? How does this happen? Some people get mad at God because they have cancer. Some people get mad at God because if Jesus came to deliver us from this world, we're not home yet. And someone will say, I know someone will say because I heard it on Sunday, Pastor, after all, isn't our happiness the sign of God's approval in our lives? Did you hear that? I wrote it down. Pastor, after all, isn't our happiness a sign of God's approval? So then I thought about that. Wow, that's a pretty interesting way of approaching things. We could say, after all, isn't our affluence a sign of God's approval? Really? Didn't God say, didn't Isaiah say in Isaiah chapter 5, woe to those who build house to house and make no room for the land where a man can be alone. They were just making money. Build, 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 build. Didn't Jesus warn the church in the book of Revelation, you say you're rich, but I say you're absolutely poor. You're naked and destitute because they didn't have him. After all, Pastor, isn't our freedom a sign of God's approval? I don't think so. Serious stuff. Verse 14. Then it was revealed in my hearing, this is Isaiah speaking, by the Lord of hosts, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. When God gets lost, the sin of unbelief grows. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Wow. So listen, we're going to have to end here because I'm just so not able to teach a chapter a night. It's pathetic. That every one of us, if you think about it, every one of us, believer and unbeliever alike, doesn't matter. Every moment of our life, we are sowing. We're sowing. You know sowing? Throwing the seed? Our life, how we live, what we do. Listen, if you're a non-believer, it's like this. You live a certain way and you sow. Let's be positive. You sow discipline. You sow, you're in education. You got your degree. You got your job. You got your income. You got your house. Those things come through hard work. I'm not knocking it. That's good. The Bible tells us that we should be absolutely working hard and God blesses obedience and all that kind of stuff. I get that part, but I'm talking non-believer. But if that non-believer goes down the street and look how often this happens, maybe he gets drunk or whatever and crashes the car and stuff and gets sued and loses it all. What happened? He could say, but for 35 years, I've built my practice and I've done so great and I did all these things. Yes, correct. Congratulations. Yes, that's commendable. But in one moment of drunken driving, you killed a man, and you've lost it all, and you're going to prison. I sat in a jury on that case. The man for 35 years built his practice, became extremely successful. It was a high-profile thing. It was amazing. This particular, he was a physician, well-known in the Southland. Went to a bar, got drunk, driving home in his Rolls Royce. Went right through a stoplight, hit a car. Rolls Royce is a big car, you know. Hit a car, that car deflected him. He went up over a curb and right into a house and killed a sleeping baby in the bed. He went to prison. In one moment, you will reap what is sown. And the Bible says, listen, God loves us so much. He's saying, listen, sow the right stuff. Number one in your life, sow Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior. Number one, listen, I don't care what walk of life you've come from, what religion you're currently embracing, just know this, unless you've got Jesus, you ain't got no hope. Listen, you will die someday and you will be meeting eternity. And Jesus said he came back from the grave to best the grave and hell and to give eternal life to all those who put their trust in him. Jesus Christ is your salvation, and there's no salvation outside of him. He's the one and only. You want it? Listen, no matter how you've sown in all of your life, you want to sow one thing now forever? Sow Jesus Christ into your heart. And I'm telling you right now, please, and ask those who are around you if it applies. He'll change your life. You may be bent on murder right now. You may be so angry about something that you're just going to go down the street or you're going to go back to that person. And God will take the evil, wicked darkness out of your heart. You can be saying here tonight, you know what? My husband makes me sick. That's it. I came in here just to kind of get away from the house and get away from that knuckle-dragging moron. And I'm telling you, you walked in here tonight and you're thinking that's it. And when I get back, and God's speaking to you tonight and he's saying, just give me a chance. God is saying to you, give me a chance. All of us have amazing stories to tell, do we not, of his grace. Are you all sucked up in religion? Or do you know the God of heaven and earth? Big difference. If that's you tonight, you ask Jesus. You call upon him. You can tell God, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me too. I believe that if you have forgiven Jack and these other people, you can forgive me. And I want to turn in my life. I want to surrender it to you. And God, I'm going to ask you tonight to live your life through me. And you know he'll be delighted to do that. He loves that. And there's nothing you can say that can turn his love away from you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you anyway. As Spurgeon said, God knows everything about me. And he loves me anyway. Isn't that amazing? Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your truth. We pray, Lord God, we, like Isaiah, we would weep over the condition of our nation. We have forgotten you, God. We've lost you. As a country, as a nation, we have attacked your Ten Commandments. We've attacked the Bible. We've attacked the name of Jesus in prayer. We have embraced other gods. We have torn down the sacred altars, and we have raised up pillars that offend you. And Father, we pray that you'd begin to move across this nation with an outpouring of your Holy Spirit of revival. Amen. We do not look to our elected officials. We do not look to our military. We do not look to those that keep us safe. We cannot look to any of those things first, but you. You first. That we might seek first the kingdom of God. That all these other things you might add to us as you see fit. But Father, we are alive and at this moment for such a time as this. And I beg of you, Almighty God, that you would spare this nation. And God, that you'd wake up the church from coast to coast, from border to border. That supernaturally she might pray and call out to you before we've been driven into the holes of fear or intimidation, that we would rise up on our knees. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And our hope is that you stay close to the Lord, where true happiness can be found. When God Gets Lost, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was actually born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel, but God really is a very personal God. He really does have a plan for your life. That's why it's our prayer here at Real Radio that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus wants you to put your faith and trust in him. It really is a good position to be in, the best if you ask me. He's the only one that died and rose again so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you're struggling with questions about salvation, well, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has a tab at his website. It's called Know God. It's right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And it's designed to give you a clear understanding of all that God has for you and all that he's done for you. So head on over to our website and click on that tab called Know God. It's an excellent way to get your questions answered and also provide you the information you need to share Jesus Christ with others. It's all there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.